Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Chris Stegall sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation at 800-449-8255. My thanks to Dr. Savage for allowing me to sit in today, and my thanks to you for being here as you always are, appointment listening here on the Savage Nation. I hope you'll visit michaelsavage.com, where all the latest headlines are popping. Again, it's michaelsavage.com, and the number 800-449-8255. By now you know you've been sold down the river by 60 corrupt individuals who have sold themselves, not unlike a prostitute on any street corner in any major city in the country, just to make a fast buck for the state, more to the point, probably for themselves, in an attempt to secure what they call health care reform, when in fact we know this is doing nothing but attacking private insurance. It has absolutely nothing to do with. Have you noticed that this debate has completely pivoted away from even discussing the cost of anything? We're not talking about the cost of anything but insurance. And of course, I mean, I don't want to reinvent the wheel with the conversation here. I just 800-449-8255. You've heard it all. You've discussed it all. You've thought about. I mean, it was for all of us middle of the night. They vote this thing, at least the test vote. They've got a couple of more procedural things to go through, and then they're going to have that final 60 vote passage. Of course, this guy Nelson in Nebraska, who looks stunningly like Rod Blagojevich, it struck me today. You ever seen a picture of Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska? He instantly, his hair reminded me of Rod Blagojevich. And then as I mulled Rod Blagojevich around in my head for a minute, it occurred to me, actually I heard someone else say it today, I can't take credit, but I heard the comparison made, and it's a fine one. Remember Rod Blagojevich, the governor of Illinois, who they want to throw in the clink? They have recordings of him on the phone saying, hey, I've got this Senate seat. Now that Obama's won, I've got this Senate seat. I get to appoint whoever I want, and it's gold, and I want a little action. I want a little something-something. Pony up some money. I'm not going to give up this Senate seat for nothing. Well, tell me how it's different, what Senator Ben Nelson or Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, how is what these people did in the United States Senate any different than what Rod Blagojevich was thrown out of office in Illinois for doing? It is no different, of course. 800-449-8255. But I spent the day, rather than spending a lot of time rehashing what the Democrats have done, we know these people are just spineless, unseemly, weaselly liars. They're the worst. This is the worst fascistic, socialistic march on an American people and an American economy we have ever watched. And I am astounded, I must tell you, that every Republican that's left in the United States Senate held out. But let's be very clear, it is, frankly, the Republican Party that brought us to this point. You say, well, Chris, I don't know what you're talking about. The Democrats did it. You said the Republicans held tough. They voted against it. No, we have to go back and look at the way this party has conducted itself, the Republican Party, which brought us to this 60-vote threshold of hell. I mean, were any of us really surprised? This is what they called their moment. The moment the rise of the oceans would slow and the planet would heal and all that Moses nonsense that Obama peddled. The Democrats are delusional, and they sold delusion, and they sold the screaming rhetorical parties and all that nonsense that Obama, city by city by city, Obama having the big auditoriums full of people squealing and screaming, not saying anything, but saying it loudly. So when you see these thugs and weasels scraping and fighting and dealing and conniving and cajoling and bribing and arm-twisting to get their 60 Senate votes on health care reform, there should be no surprise. In fact, It is what Michael Savage and other conservatives out there warned you would happen. Senator McCain, we told you so. Michael Savage told you so. And were the circumstances not so serious, I would have done a comedic spit take when I heard John McCain on television and on the radio last week pleading with people to do everything they could. I actually heard John McCain on a radio show begging the listeners of that show to do, of course, not the Savage Nation listeners. I mean, one of the most popular radio programs in the country, the most popular conservative show for true rock-ribbed independent conservatives in this country. There is no better show. There is no stronger host than Dr. Savage. And we know what John McCain thinks of the Savage Nation, don't we? So when I hear Senator McCain on television or on the radio now pandering to conservatives and asking for their help, well, at the risk of sounding like your mother here, what do we learn about people like Senator McCain and Republicans like these when the chips are down, when the charm isn't working on his friends across the aisle in the Democratic Party? Then he comes running to talk radio, conservatives for help. You know, it is conservatives, it's the Savage Nation, it's you who are constantly taken for granted amongst the Republican Party. We're always told it's independents, and they call them Reagan Democrats that are considered, those are the ones you have to have to win a an election. You Savage Nation listeners, you're the dependable vote. No, they'll call you for a donation, but they're not going to call you for direction or message. They'll tell you to shut up and sit down during a presidential campaign. In fact, you were. You still are. Birthers. Tea partiers. You town hall wackos. Borderline racists. Sheldon Whitehouse. We heard what he said. The senator from Rhode Island. We'll get to that in a little bit. Drug that out again. The Aryan Nation members is basically what he's called you now. So, look, guys like McCain, he listens to guys like Sheldon Whitehouse, not you. So guys like John McCain, they're embarrassed oftentimes by people like you. Now John McCain needs help. He needs your passion. He needs your mobilization. He needs your fire. Well, Senator McCain, the Savage Nation, Dr. Savage, me, the people listening to this show are way ahead of you. These rhinos, they can call themselves Reagan foot soldiers, whatever that means. But this guy was spanked in the last election, and he lost to Barack Obama. There is no way a guy like John McCain should ever lose a race to a radical leftist like this. He's an American hero. The man was interned in a prison camp during war, for Pete's sakes. He comes from a lineage of American war heroes, and he lost to this guy? Why? Well, because he wouldn't embrace you. He wouldn't even entertain talking to someone like Dr. Savage on the radio, who he could have used. No, he wanted to run around pandering to the disenfranchised. No, but he'd scrape and fight for Colin Powell's endorsement, wouldn't he? Oh, he was desperate for Joe Lieberman's help, wasn't he? Look, his old friend Joe Lieberman, by the way, who last week kind of flirted with you for a minute, didn't he? Made you think that maybe he'd hang out. Well, maybe I won't vote for that thing. Made you feel, Joe Lieberman got everybody excited. Well, looks like he's a lock. Count on him, Harry Reid says. He's in. So what do you think of old Joe Lieberman now? Remember, he was at the RNC convention last year talking about how McCain was the better candidate than Barack Obama. Yet when everything matters, when it really counts for this country, what's Joe Lieberman do? Well, he sides with the guy he told us was bad for the country. And we all know how this campaign treated anyone that thought anything of someone that I think actually speaks conservatism, Sarah Palin. Now, I know Dr. Savage has his issues with her, but I don't think anyone can argue that in terms of articulating conservatism, of the two, she was certainly the stronger messenger. But, you know, look, they're embarrassed by her. They look down on her. They look down on anyone and everyone that looked up to Sarah Palin. She and people like her or anyone affiliated with true conservatism, principled conservatism, are an embarrassment. They are not interested in you They are not interested in the patriots of their party. Conservatives, meanwhile, gave respect and deference to McCain because of his military service. But McCain does not respect conservatives. He doesn't respect our service to protecting the integrity of the Republican Party, ergo the Constitution. McCain and the GOP put conservatives in their place last fall. Shut up and sit down. Well, now, Senator McCain and Michael Steele and the party, now you're being put in your place, aren't you? Look, we can only be fooled so many times. The Republican Party is in a very dangerous place right now, and people like McCain are playing with fire. Now, if the core of this party, the Republican Party, if it still exists, is conservative, if we're going to be asked to go to the mat for this party, if they're going to come on radio shows and go on TV and say, you got to do something, you got to call your senators, you got to call Congress and stop it, we're powerless to defeat them. Well, I hope you'll remember that. This party better become a conservative party or it will fade into the ash heap of history. This country's been hijacked by politicians that will sell our liberty and our property out for any bill that has their name on it. Liberals and rhinos in Washington work for themselves. That's it. They're independent contractors. They don't represent you and me. Conservatives don't cut deals with insiders. They don't reach across the aisle. Conservatives are here to stay, and they're ready to fight, and they're ready to take back the country. They're ready to donate to conservative candidates, ready to march, make calls, protest, and most of all, vote next November. But we need candidates who respect us. Now, John McCain is a patriot and a hero. In terms of all things military, he's got my respect. He'd jump into a bomber today and fight for the country, I have no doubt, when we're talking about an external threat. But we have a destructive and insidious internal threat. And what I want to know, and what America now wants to know, John McCain and Republican Party at large, are you ready to stand with us, stand up and represent us, or are we going to have to do this on our own? We're in a difficult position. This country's back is against the wall. It's not Republican, Democrat, Independent anymore. This is the American people versus this body of arrogant SOBs called Congress. We are now looking for committed conservatives who will be strong, who won't take sides with these 60 thugs. And yeah, to that end, McCain's right. We should do our level best to rattle their cages, call the congressman, try to stop this. It is a disaster. But when that's over, it's time to hold people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Joe Lieberman and all these cap-and-trade moron Republicans and the others that are always reaching across the aisle on things like amnesty and tell them, knock it off. Back off. 2010 is our moment now. And if you're not going to do the will of the American people, we will do it for you next year, November 2010. I've got it marked on my calendar, circled with a big red marker. That's all you can do at this point. 800-449-8255. 800-449-8255. Chris Stigall in for Dr. Savage tonight. This is the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation at 800-449-8255, looking at michaelsavage.com. This is exactly what I mean. This is precisely what I was talking about. Another fake Republican, trial liar, in parentheses, Lindsey Graham, one of John McCain's best friends, pushing global warming. Senator Lindsey Graham, this from the Associated Press, making an unlikely champion for action on climate change. This is what I mean. You know, it could be easily said that John McCain was part and parcel the very same guy Barack Obama is, only with a great military record. It could be said that the Republicans put up a candidate who, in effect, would have brought us probably to the very same place, maybe sans health care debate, but certainly with kneecap and tax, certainly with amnesty. That's what I mean. These people have to be purged. If there truly is to be opposition, if there truly is to be a clear demarcation of party here, then now must be the year. 2010 must be the year we purge ourselves of the McCains, of the Lindsey Grahams. I mean, I understand the focus today is on the prostitute Ben Nelson of Nebraska, and rightly so. There's plenty of blame to be shoved around, but we have to appreciate how we got here. A bunch of weak, limp-wristed Republicans who didn't lead. And I was talking before the show with Seth Hawking. What is it? What is it about Republicans that when they feel as though their political wins are against them? Last year, okay, look, there's no denying Bush train wreck disaster. The country wasn't with them. I mean, the war, the bailouts. People were apathetic at best that were even inclined to vote Republican. And the people that hated Bush and hate Republicans really, really hated him. It was like jet fuel on a fire. And so the national sentiment was, yes, obviously, overwhelmingly pro-Democrat. But look how quickly it's turned in just a year. Through their own action, by the way. And what's amazing is now, even now, that the whole country, all right, save a third of the country, but the two-thirds of this country, maybe more, want nothing to do with this health care bill as it's written. And for various reasons. Look, those on the left don't think it goes far enough. Those on the right think it's, and rightly so, the most unbelievable encroachment on our liberties and freedoms we've ever seen. But combined, the vast majority of this country doesn't want it, yet they arrogantly march on. And the Republicans, there are still a handful of them out there that seem to be kind of wringing their hand. Yeah, they held together. I know, the 60-40 vote. But the point is, I wonder that if Republicans were in control, they wouldn't be behaving the same way. Kind of ignoring the will or ignoring the or actually, more to the point, let me put it to you this way. You have to kind of hand it to people like Barbara Boxer. You kind of have to hand it to people like Dick Durbin or Pat Leahy or John Kerry. You have to kind of hand it to them. Here they stare in the faces of the American people, well over two-thirds of the American people, and they say, I hear you. I know what you've said. You don't want this. I'm voting for it anyway, like a two-year-old, plugging their finger, sticking their fingers in their ear, holding their breath and stamping their feet. La, 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 I don't hear you. I'm voting for it anyway. That's what they just did. Republicans aren't capable of doing that. They buckle at the stiffest wind.
Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. I'm Chris Stigall, and for Dr. Michael Savage, and I'm glad you're a part of it at 800-449-8255. I hope you'll go right away to michaelsavage.com and read all the latest news of the day that Michael himself oftentimes has seen fit to print up there at michaelsavage.com, including this continuing disaster that the Senate has created, the 60-vote threshold they had to hit, it appears they're going to, and it looks like they're going to do it on Christmas Eve now? Is that what they're saying? They're going to wait around till Christmas? Oh, you'll love this. You're going to love this, if I may. Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri, just last Thursday, was doing the media rounds and very upset with people like Tom Colburn of Oklahoma and others who were trying to stall and delay this vote on health care, keeping them around there. You know, they had a big snowstorm over the weekend, and now it looks like this is going to march right up to Christmas. Well, Senator McCaskill went to the press. She did the radio rounds, and, oh, you'll love this. It's just, well, lamenting all she was going to miss this holiday season. Instead, she has to be in Washington doing the people's work.
You know, I'm very sad about all my family traditions that I'm going to miss that we do in the days before Christmas. I'm not going to get to do my baking. My kids are upset. So, you know, everyone's a little, tensions are high. And
did you like that? I'll just let that hover out there if you'd like a piece of that at 800-449-8255. Hey, one more time. Just,
I'm very sad about all my family traditions that I'm going to miss that we do in the days before Christmas. I'm not going to get to do my baking. My kids are upset.
Sorry, pumpkin.
So,
You
know, everyone's a little, tensions are high. And
don't you just want to squeeze her? Sweet old Claire McCaskill from Missouri going to miss her baking while she burns the country to the ground. But it's too bad. I know there are a lot of people in Missouri that would love to send her home so she'd have all the time in the world to bake. Let's go to the phones. You've been patient. Let's go to Tom in Chicago, home of Rod Blagojevich, by the way. Tom, to me, I look at what Ben Nelson of Nebraska did in securing the 60th vote. Basically, everyone in Nebraska, kudos to you. You're not on the hook for all the new Medicaid payments. Everyone else, the other 49 states are, Tom. So I say this is what Blago was kicked out of office for, what Ben Nelson just did. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I actually believe that on Christmas Eve, one of the Democrats, one of the liberal swine, is actually going to join with the Republicans and vote no and throw a monkey wrench into the liberals' plan.
Who do you think it'll be? Why?
It may not be Lieberman or Nelson, but it'll be the one from Arkansas. I cannot think of his name.
Blanche Lincoln, the female, you mean? Blanche Lincoln.
I believe it might be her. I just feel that one of them, the conscience, is going to get to them, and they're going to vote no because they know in their hearts they're going to ruin the country if they vote yes.
So you think there's still a couple of them with a soul up there is what you're saying, Tom?
Yes, I'm holding out that just one will change their mind and throw a monkey wrench into the radical leftist plan.
Well, Tom, I guess I'll, you know, thanks for the call. I will... I'll hold my breath with you. Hope that's true. I'm looking at the list of those that are leaving. You know, a third of the Senate is up for re-election next year. Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas. Michael Bennett of Colorado. Oh, this weasel Chris Dodd. I tell you something, if you folks in Connecticut can't get rid of Chris Dodd now, after all this with Fannie and Freddie and the sweetheart deal at Countrywide, and this might be one of the biggest thieves in Senate history, and that says a lot. So Chris Dodd is up. I don't know how in the world he... Joe Biden's seat is up for grabs. Let's see. Oh, this will be a good one. The Florida seat that Chris wants down there in Florida. And the what's the name of the guy? I've forgotten the House leader's name down there. Former Rubio, thank you. Yeah, Rubio's giving him a real run. In fact, I hear that's neck and neck down there. Rubio, again, the conservative challenger to the Crist, Charlie Crist, the guy with the fake bake and the snow white hair. He looks like a game show host. These are the guys you want to stay away from, in my estimation. Of course, this Burris, Roland Burris, this is the guy that replaced Barack Obama, that Blago was bribed to put him in the seat. Well, I think he's right at home. I think we ought to put Blago in his place. Actually, they think that could go to a Republican. The guy up in Kentucky, Grayson? Or no, he's a challenger. Bunning's up. Vitter, down in Louisiana, in Missouri. Kit Bond leaves. Nevada, Harry Reid's seat is up. That's a biggie. They think he's in trouble. New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio. Boxer in California. Is this her moment? Is she out? That's a hot race. There's a two-way race going on out there right now for her seat amongst Republicans. Inouye in Hawaii. Evan Bayh in Indiana. Now, Evan Bayh's another guy. Tom in Chicago, I would ask you, I think Evan Bayh's a guy I would think would have a conscience. I would think. I would love to think a guy like Evan Bayh would have a conscience. Who knows? Babs Mikulski out there in Maryland up for grabs. Chucky Schumer and Gillibrand. Is that right? Both of them are up? Is that right, Beowulf? Both New York senators are up? I have it in front of me. And then Dorgan up there in North Dakota. Wyden in Oregon. Pennsylvania, Arlen Specter, that one. How is Arlen Specter still in office? Oh, Pat Leahy in Vermont. There's some good ones up this year. Well, you talk about rattling some cages. You guys, let me read the states. I'm sorry to do this again, but the Savage Nation is vast. And if you've never really tuned in to who's in your Senate right now, now is the time to do it. Arkansas, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Illinois, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Nevada, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio, California, Hawaii, Indiana, Maryland, New York, the biggie, that's the biggie, New York, North Dakota, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Washington, Wisconsin, then Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Johnny, John Boy, Granddad, is it his time? McCain. Georgia, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas up for grabs. Oklahoma, Colburn's a good one. If we could put a guy like Tom Colburn in every one of these states I'm reading. South Carolina, Jim DeMint, another one. If I could rubber stamp Jim DeMint and Tom Colburn and put guys like them in every seat in the union, I'd do it. South Dakota up for grabs. John Thune's another one. I like him. Bennett in Utah. He's the guy that replaced old Foot Tapper, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong about that? I think he replaced. Didn't Bennett replace? Or no, is Bennett the other guy? I forget. Who replaced the Foot Tapper? Anyway, these are the senators. There's a third of the Senate. It's all up for grabs. 800-449-8255. These are the people. These people, a number of them that I've mentioned, have got to be nervous. Is Tom right? Do you agree? Could some of them grow a conscience? Rochester, New York. Let's go to Sam. Both your Senate seats, Sam, up for grabs. How do you think it'll shake out? Does a guy like Chuck Schumer really sweat it? Does he ever really sweat it, Sam? Or do you think he's always eternally safe no matter what he does in that state?
I think for now he's eternally safe. By the way, that the reason there's two New York seats up is because Gillibrand was appointed for the seat Hillary left.
Yeah, she's just filling out Hillary's old term, right? Yeah.
So she finished the term 1 year, I guess, and now she's got to run again. She might.
All right. What's on your mind?
Pardon me?
I say, what's on your mind, Sam?
I think the Republicans ought to take a page from what they did in the 80s with Reagan. Offer some of these so-called conservative Democrats. By the way, I don't believe in the terminology conservative Democrats. I don't believe there's such a person. But anyway, call their bluff. Offer them spots in the Republican Party. Their seats will be safe. They have to sign a pledge, but, you know, let that aside for now. And say, look, you're being browbeaten by your Democrat hierarchy. Why don't you join the friendly crowd here where you're supposedly in tune philosophically, the Republicans. Join our party. We'll make it worth your while. You know, call their bluff. See what they say. My guess is it'll work well for conservatives. Either they'll join or they'll be laid out to bear for what they really are, just colossal frauds that are perpetrating a hoax on the American people.
Sam, I'm glad you called. Look, the bottom line is, folks, and you can call it Republican or you can call it conservative, but let's be clear. What the Republican Party used to or should stand for, what conservatives stand for, let's be clear about this. Obama likes to say that all the time. Let's be clear. It is not what we want to do to you. It is what we want to get away from. It is what we want government to not be allowed to do to you. The negative liberties of the Constitution that Barack Obama spoke of in a negative way, we actually believe is a positive thing for the country. The Constitution, a series of constructs by our founders that said they can't do what they're about to do to you. This is, do you understand? Of course you do. I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk down to you, but I've been I've been chafing since I got the call. And Dr. Savage, thanks for the opportunity to blow off some steam. It is unfathomable that the United States Congress is about to pass a law that requires you to buy something. Forget the merits of it, Sam. They're about to require you to buy something. Now, don't tell me that most of this country agrees with the federal government legislatively forcing you to buy something or be jailed. Ergo, Sam, I'm saying it should be very, very easy, whether you call it independent, whether you call it conservative, whether you call it Republican, it should be very, very easy to oppose these people, Sam, even in New York.
Yeah, well, you know, that's unconstitutional, what they're trying to do. Why doesn't some entity, the Republican Party or whoever, try to take this to court and say what the Democrats are trying to do, force us to buy insurance policies, is unconstitutional? Why doesn't somebody come up with something like that? It just boggles the mind. And by the way, you mentioned Senator Coburn. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But, you know, he's threatened to some of the health care bill read again. Instead of threatening, just do it.
I mean, throw everything at the wall and see if it'll stick, Sam. Thanks for the phone call. 800-449-8255. That's it. No threats. Yeah, you get. There was who's the guy, the minority leadership, the whip? There's Boehner, who's the leader, and then the number two guy. He was in the nude, mealy mouth, kind of limp-wristing today. I'm highly agitated at that. Do they understand the country's burning with rage? Do the Republicans really understand it? I think guys like Mitch McConnell on the Senate side are starting to understand. The thing, what I'm saying to you is, I don't sense yet, I still don't sense, believe it or not, that the Republicans really have understood how they can harness this rage. I don't think that anything is too below the belt now. I don't think Republicans can get dirty enough, at least not for me. I don't know about you. They talk like they're Foghorn Leghorn on some plantation. I watched some of this C-SPAN over the good gentleman from Kentucky. I would rise now to offer my amendment so that... Oh, shut up! These people are hijacking our country. Stop with the decorum. Stop with the plantation speak. I say, good sir, you have insulted my honor. Knock it off. Stop this. Don't threaten. Quit with your nerdy press releases about, we are deeply disturbed at the unusual nature of the Democrats' behavior. Shut up and do something. Or we'll do it for you. Arguably, we already are. 800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
I'm very sad about all my family traditions that I'm going to miss. That we do in the days before Christmas. I'm not going to get to do my baking. My kids are upset. So, you know, everyone's a little, tensions are high. And
oh, the Democrat senator from Missouri, Claire McCaskill, up there stuck in a snowstorm, having to miss all her family traditions so she can radically socialize 1/6 of our economy. Chris Stigall in for Dr. Michael Savage. Glad you're here on the Savage Nation at 800-449-8255. Let's go to Houston, talk to Don. Don, welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm Chris. Hello.
For having me. When I heard that lead-in, I figured that was my subject, so I'm glad to talk to you. I guess my thing, I was disgusted when I heard this so-called social servant lamenting and expecting us to sympathize with her about missing her traditions of cooking and baking when what she's doing is cooking up a powder keg to obliterate the American traditions, the traditions the country was built on, freedom, reward and responsibility, capitalism, those kinds of things. Those are those sorts of traditions that we're going to have to lament long into the future. You know, but God forbid she should miss her one little holiday and her cooking. I'm sorry for you, Grandma, but let's get off the socialist wagon and just kind of think about what really matters to the people that you're supposedly serving.
God bless you, Don. Couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah, the little traditions called the Constitution, Senator McCaskill. We're all interested in preserving those, lest your holiday baking schedule. Thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Kyle in Chicago. Kyle, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I don't know if Senator McCaskill thought about anybody that's in Iraq or Afghanistan this Christmas either.
Well, that is probably the finest point of them all, Kyle. Can you imagine a United States senator is whining about what all she's missing for the holidays when we have how many? How many? What, 200? At least 200,000 in Iraq and Afghanistan now, and soon to be plenty more.
Yeah, maybe she could get on a, like during the football halftime, she could wave, you know, and say, hi, family, I'm here.
Oh, that would be, yes, one. Kyle, that's exactly, Kyle, that's right. That's what we should start doing now. You know how all the local news and a lot of radio stations have troop Christmas greetings? We could start having Christmas greetings from your senators who are bravely serving in Washington over the holidays.
Thanks,
you like
Chris.
That, Kyle?
Things. I think if there is a senator that crosses over from the Dems to kill this, I'm hoping it's Webb from Virginia, the guy who's been real quiet. I thought he might not vote for cloture, but... And then the other thing is, I've called Cornyn, I've called McCain, I've called McConnell's office. I said, you know, are you going to read this 2,000-page bill? You know, read the whole thing on the floor. And I've got different answers from all of them. I don't see why, you know, they should all stay there for Christmas. They've been, you know, it's just the way it is.
Kyle, thanks for the, yeah, well, you're right. Thanks for the phone call. That's what first of all, I do want that. I want Christmas greetings from our brave men and women who are serving in Washington over the holidays. You know, just a little hi, I'm Senator Dorgan from North Dakota. I'd like to say hello to my wife, Buffy, and my kids, John, Elliot, and Lisa. I miss you, and I hope to be home soon. That's right. In fact, just take those troop greetings right off the TV. I'm tired of seeing them on the evening news. Let's put the senators in their greetings while they're giving up.
You know, I'm very sad about all my family traditions that I'm going to miss that we do in the days before Christmas. I'm not going to get to do my baking.
No.
My kids are upset.
I know.
So, you know, everyone's a little, tensions are high. And
you think your kids are upset because you're not home baking? Wait till they get the bill for what you've just passed, sweetheart. You want to watch your kids cry? There won't be any money for their Christmas or when their kids come around and have their own families. They'll be paying for health care. Hey, Merry Christmas. I'm not broke will be the new greeting. Hey, sorry I couldn't get you any gifts. But, you know, we're all making minimum wage now and on the government health care rolls. So, you know, we've all got a little of something, but not too much of anything. Yay, America. Let's go to New York. James, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Dr. Savage tonight. Hello.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for the call.
Speak with you guys. Thank you guys for doing everything you do. Me and my mom, Loretta, listen to you guys every night.
Thank
just
you.
Wanted to call up. I actually work for a U.S.-based insurance company, and I'm actually involved with the international benefits for companies that have international signees. And it just blows my mind how they're actually considering doing this. I mean, it's not going to help the United States at all. And I mean, they're going to change something that works very well for 200 million Americans to basically help out 20 million people that currently don't have coverage and the illegal immigrants. So I just don't get it. I mean, the whole pre-existing additions talk that they have about how people with pre-existing additions get denied. I mean, anyone that's been continuously covered throughout their life can never get denied coverage, even if they do have a pre-existing addition. So basically, those are the people that kind of cheat the system and don't enroll in plans until they really need it. So,
yeah, well, James, it's an outstanding point. If you liked the way, for instance, Obama took over Chrysler and General Motors, you're going to love this. It's the same model. You like cash for clunkers? You're going to love this. Chrysler dealerships that were forced by the government to be shut down all over the country? Guess what? That's coming for your favorite private health insurer next.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Chris Stigall, sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and you're listening to The Savage Nation. I'm grateful you're here today, and Dr. Savage, thank you for the invitation to sit in on this Christmas week. The telephone number, 800-449-8255, 800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com is the website. A lot of people wondering, what can we do? Chris, I know Dr. Savage gets the emails and the phone calls often. What can we do? Well, Dr. Savage has a legal defense fund set up. I mean, he didn't ask me to tell you that, but I'm telling you, if you want to channel this into some kind of constructive, useful activity, the writing, the emails, the phone calls to these people in Washington, they're not interested in you. But what looms large for them is next November, and they think you'll forget. What you have to understand, if you want to know what you can do, what you must understand about these people, they believe they have to rush this home because they want to spend as little time in 2010 discussing this horrible piece of legislation, no more time than they have to. They want to spend as little time as possible. So if they can lock this down by late January or early February, poof, you will have forgotten by summertime. Picnics, go to the lake again. I mean, I know we're all thinking Christmas now, but let's think in terms of a campaigner. Let's think in terms of a politician. First of all, you say, why are they rushing this? Well, just as I said, they want to get this slammed home by Christmas so they can at least go to conference, have this thing by the new year, boom, boom, done, State of the Union, Obama sells it, everybody cheers, Maybe we get a Joe Wilson you lie out of it, and next thing you know, he's the news cycle, not the health care reform. You don't, and you're not paying any attention. And they figure spring will roll down, the flowers pop up, you're going to get a little vacation head again, you're going to want to go to the lake, you're going to want to barbecue, you're going to want to get away, you're going to want to unplug, you'll feel defeated, and by the way, you didn't win anyway, we got the health care passed, so, you know, take a walk. And then come November, they'll probably throw some bridge up in your community or something and come home and remind you about a school they built or a hospital they built or how Nebraskans aren't going to pay for Medicaid expenses any further because, hey, old Ben Nelson took care of that last December, if you'll recall. Yay! And they figure you'll applaud and cut the ribbon with them and send them back to Congress. That's the way they think this next year's going to play out. Now, what can you do? Calling them and ringing their bell. Look, I'm not against it. It certainly can never hurt to keep the pressure up. Laying down and taking this until the fight is over is what I just said in the last hour of the Savage Nation can't be done. Republicans, you know, John McCain over the weekend said, well, we've pretty much done all we can do. So, good night, Gladys. See ya. It's over. I mean, just quit. Now, as far as I'm concerned, parliamentary tactics, whatever they can do, if they have to hold this thing, and I'm not crying in my beer for these people, if they have to sleep in the well of the Senate on Christmas Eve, if they wake up and have to check, if they have to hang actual socks on their desks so Santa will visit them on Christmas morning, so be it. I don't care. But by the way, I have this theory that the big snowstorm that hit them over the weekend was God. I'm sorry, did anybody else feel that way? I know, maybe that sounds a little weird. Did you, when you heard that there was a massive snowstorm hitting Washington, D.C., and that all these idiots were trapped together up there, did you think for a second, is this divine intervention? Is this something divine trying to intercede here? I don't know. Was it me? 800-449-8255. But what can you do? You donate to people whose voices truly stand on a national stage for principled conservatism. You support them. You get behind them. You donate to them. Now, I realize there is, and again, I would never make the comparison where he's standing right here, nor would he want me to, but whether that's Dr. Savage, whether that's Sarah Palin, whether that's the guy down there, the House leader down there in Florida, Rubio, taking on Crist, whether that's the guy that's challenging McCain down in Arizona, you know, whatever you like, whoever that conservative is, whether it's that guy Hoffman who took on that woman Didi Scazzafava in New York's 23rd. You say, yeah, he lost. Well, look, I'm not going to spend time rehashing that. That was a squeaker, and that was an 11th hour squeaker that never should have been a squeaker. But if you want to know what you can do, physically do, to roll this back and stop this madness, it is inject yourself and involve yourself. Ranting and raging and seething is what gives people like this, what's this thug's name? Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. Did you hear what he said? See, he wants, people like him and Barack Obama, they want you to get angry. And you know these people, these psychological game players, when you get in a debate with someone and maybe you get ratcheted up because you're passionate. I do this. I can only talk rationally for so long until someone is just, they won't hear reason. They won't do anything but emote. They won't actually listen to facts as presented. You watch it on cable TV all the time. It's just, it's maddening. And you start to get kind of, you get into a lather. You raise your voice, you stammer a little bit, maybe your face gets a little red. And then what do? People that are artful at this, and Obama is one of these guys, so are guys like this Sheldon Whitehouse. Harry Reid's actually quite good at this. What do? Ooh, what are you so angry about? You see, because anger is not a virtue to liberals. Well, at least not when they're in control. I mean, liberals are the most hateful, angry people you're ever going to meet until they're in power. And then anger is unfortunate. It must be dealt with. These are the people, you know, Dr. Savage talks about this all the time. Liberals are the people that over-medicate their children because they're too, ooh, they're so wound up. Oh, that, peel that boy off the ceiling. He's bouncing off the, well, he's a three-year-old boy. Oh, he's just so wild. I can't deal with him. See, liberals, when they're in power, guys like Dr. Savage make them nervous. So they have to whisper to them quietly and talk to them like they're an armchair therapist or something. What is it? What's wrong with you? What makes you tick? Why are you so angry all the time? Something's got to be done about your anger. Listen to clip. Listen to this. What was this? Where's the White House clip? Yeah, five. Clip five. Here's White House on the Senate floor talking about you wackos, angry people.
And why? Why all this discord and discourtesy, all this unprecedented destructive action? All to break the momentum of our new young president. They are desperate to break this president.
Desperate.
They have ardent supporters who are nearly hysterical.
Hysterical.
At the very election of President Barack Obama.
You're crazy.
The birthers, the fanatics.
Fanatic.
The people running around in right-wing militias and Aryan support groups.
Oh, good one.
It is unbearable to them that President Barack Obama should exist. That is one powerful reason.
Yes. Sheldon Whitehouse is right. You, just like Harry Reid said 2 weeks ago, you oppose this legislation just like people stood in the way of civil rights. Just like people stood in the way of the abolition of slavery. I mean, never mind that Democrats are actually the party that stood in the way of it, but I digress. You people that have a problem with what we're doing in Washington, you're mentally ill. All this anger, where does it come from? You must not like black people. Harry Reid, same deal. Listen.
All Republicans can come up with is this. Slow down. Stop everything. Let's start over. You think you've heard these same excuses before? You're right. When this country belatedly recognized the wrongs of slavery, there were those who dug in their heels and said, slow down. It's too early. Let's wait. Things aren't bad enough.
So just understand who we're dealing with here. They are quite cunning. What they are doing is telling you up is down, black is white. They are lying to your face, and when you get angry about being lied to, and the vast majority of the country is angry at being lied to, they, hey. They want to give you a narcotic like Awakenings, like Robert De Niro in that movie Awakening. They drug you up, give you a cup full of medicine. Shh, 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 shh. Calm down there. Here's a blanket. Sit down in that wheelchair. Do, 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 do. And it makes you furious because you know you're being lied to. These people look you in the face. The president looks you and I in the face and says, my bill won't cover abortion. My bill won't cover illegals. That's what Joe Wilson did. You lie. Joe Wilson did the unorthodox, the unthinkable. He shouted out, you're lying to us, Mr. President, during a joint session of Congress. That's not to happen. That's not decorum. Well, decorum is no longer called for. Decorum no longer gets the job done. We're not dealing with people that are listening anymore. We're dealing with people that are lying to your face and telling you you're the problem for not standing with them. And if they can convince enough people or those in power that you're the crazy and you're to be dealt with, you're out there pledging your allegiance to militias and Aryan nations or whatever crazy thing White House just said. You're the pseudo-racist. See, if they let you, if they play on your anger and let that narrative be spun, that could be an issue. So don't let it. You want to know what you can do about this? Smile and wait and know. In fact, I wouldn't mind an eerie calm beginning to settle over the country. Kind of lying the trap. 800-449-8255. You birthers, you fanatics, I welcome you to the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Oh, maybe he's been listening to the show. Hey, welcome back. It's Chris Stigall in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 800-449-8255. Just in moments ago, this just handed me. Rudy Giuliani has announced he does not intend to seek the office of the presidency in 2012. And I think maybe he's been listening to the Savage Nation tonight, where I suggested that maybe people like Rudy Giuliani, God love him for all the right reasons, but could very easily be the issue. The reason, I mean, we ought never see a Republican primary circus as we did in this last go-around before we ended up getting Granddad, who, again, even Granddad, a man who was imprisoned during a time of war for a series of years, can't beat a radical leftist freshman senator who's been in the Senate for 150 days and has claimed to fame as a couple of speeches and a book, which we're not even sure he wrote. I mean, when you really think about pick the weakest guy on the stage, and maybe we did, among the Republicans, and any one of them could have beaten this guy. Should have, if they'd just be conservative. Well, now's the time. That is the point. Politico, yesterday, McCain headline, GOP can't stop health care. We will fight until the last vote, McCain told Fox News Sunday. We owe that to our constituents. We must do everything. We must look back and say we did everything to prevent this terrible mistake from taking place. Did they? Did Republicans do everything they could to keep this terrible mistake from taking place? I mean, look, I appreciate the Hail Marys from Tom Colburn and others that are now, you know, trying the parliamentary tricks. But I say a year ago was when a lot of this could have been stopped and should have been stopped. I am telling you, John McCain would be president today, although one could argue, you know, we'd still get kneecap and tax, we'd still get amnesty. And those are to come, by the way. Merry Christmas. But I would argue he would be president of the United States today if he had stood in the way of TARP instead of going along with George W. Bush and Barack Obama on TARP. But instead he rushed. Remember this whole scene? We could have seen this. We did see this coming. Dr. Savage certainly saw it coming from downtown. Late 08, just before the election, George Bush summons John McCain and Barack Obama to Washington, D.C. The nation's banks are in crisis. If we don't act within 24 hours, the entire economy will collapse. Hank Paulson says so. Ben Bernanke says so. We got to do something and do it now. Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and John McCain, the think tank, and Hank Paulson, they all put their heads together and ta-da, we get TARP. All Granddad would have had to have done was say no to TARP. He'd be president of the United States today. And we wouldn't be having the health care fight, but you can damn well bet we'd still have the kneecap and tax, which is just the point, which is really the insidious, sick point. Republicans were not offering a true alternative to this to begin with. So when you hear him say, we fought until the last vote, we did all we could do, we must do everything we can, we must look back and say we did everything to prevent this terrible mistake from taking place. All due respect, Senator McCain, you did not. You didn't do everything to prevent this terrible mistake from taking place. You set it in motion over a year ago. And not just him. Guys like Lindsey Graham down in South Carolina. We're here because we're powerless to stop it now. I mean, it's one thing to wring our hands and say, oh, whatever will we do, this monster, there's nothing to do to squash this monster. Well, there was. A year ago, there was. And there will be again next year. But damn it, if I'm going to sit through another election cycle listening to the likes of guys like Lindsey Graham and John McCain telling me that I'm a birther, telling me that I'm a potential Aryan Nation member, or that I'm a guy sitting on a trigger-happy militia member, or a racist. We were repudiated time and again. People like Dr. Savage were constantly told, at least on the campaign trail, not literally, but people like him with that message were told, shut up and sit down about the where was he born thing. Shut up and sit down about his agenda. Quit using that word socialist. Quit using radical. Quit using thug. Quit digging too deep into Chicago and who he's friends with and who his associates are. Quit that. That's not what this is about. That's beneath the... Did you hear John McCain talking about Al Frank? I don't know if you even have that exchange. I'm sure Dr. Savage talked about it last week. Joe Lieberman's on the floor. He has 10 minutes to talk, and customarily, members of the Senate are given a little more when they exceed their 10 minutes. Al Franken's the presiding president there in the Senate at the time. And maybe we'll play it when we get back. But Lieberman runs out of time, and he says, can I have a moment more? I can't do the droopy voice. And Franken says, nope, 10 minutes is up. He said, well, I know, but we always give each other another minute or two. Can I have another minute? Nope, 10 minutes, that's it. McCain goes to the floor. I've never seen such outrageous behavior. In all my career, I've never seen... Welcome to the New World Order, my friend.
Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. MichaelSavage.com is the website for all the latest reading. My name is Chris Stegall, in for Dr. Michael Savage tonight. And Dr. Savage, Merry Christmas. Thanks for the invitation, and a Merry Christmas to you, Savage Nation. Thanks for being here at 800-449-8255. 800-449-8255. Just before the break, I was referring to the new order of things, this deliberative, thoughtful body known as the United States Senate. Well, the rules have changed, and guys like McCain are ticked off now. The Republicans are now shocked and stunned and amazed at the audacity, the brash nature of the Democrats' behavior here. This exchange, again, we're talking about a procedure. The Senate, these guys, they take to the floor. They get 10 minutes to talk, generally. And there's a guy presiding over the Senate. It's usually one of the senators. And in this case, it's Al Franken, one of the newest senators in the lot, the comic. Now, think about this. There's a comedian presiding over the United States Senate. Joe Lieberman, a longtime member of the United States Senate, is speaking. He runs out of his 10-minute allotment to speak. He asks for the traditional minute or two extension, which is always given. It's just custom. He doesn't get it. Franken shuts him down. Now, at the end of this, you're going to hear John McCain shocked at the behavior. Listen.
The senator has spoken for 10 minutes.
I wonder if I could ask unanimous consent for just an additional moment.
In my capacity as senator from Minnesota, I object.
Really? Oh, okay. Don't take it personally.
I just saw, I've been around here 20-some years, first time I've ever seen a member denied an extra minute or two to finish his remarks. And I must say that I don't know what's happening here in this body, but I think it's wrong.
Now, you have to understand this is what we see and what we hear, okay? This is what we are seeing and hearing. This is not what we don't see and what we don't hear. Like the Politico piece earlier this year, I'll never forget it as long as I live. All the heads of the banks are called to Washington, D.C. And Barack Obama says to them, according to the Politico and someone that was in the room, because there was no press allowed in, I'm paraphrasing here, "Gentlemen, the only thing between the torches and pitchforks and you is me." Or last week, there was another story. He was talking to some member of Congress since the 80s. I mean, he's been for, I think it's DeFazio out west, a member of Congress who's pretty left of center and doesn't like where the Senate bill was going and wasn't so sure he was supportive. And the quote from DeFazio's office, Obama gets him on the phone and says, "Hey, we're keeping score here, brother. Mind yourself." These folks, we are in a different ball game. These rules of the Senate and this genteel decorum that some of these Republicans still think exists is out. These people are ruthless. They are thugs. They don't care about the will of the American people. They are playing for keeps. And I am telling you, those that are still in power, the Republicans that are still in power, had better start doing the same. Playing for keeps and running for keeps and being very clear about who they are when they're running and then making no apologies when they are and they will be back in control again in 2010. And if Republicans in the House and the Senate don't do their level best to roll back this nightmare, which seems sadly to be looming large and unstoppable at this hour, if they don't do their level best to unroll everything this reckless Congress is doing today, they have let you down and they aren't to be trusted. And certainly not to be supported. And that is the first question you ask any Republican that wants your vote next year. Will you do everything to roll back anything that may come of this Obamacare mess? That would be my first question to anyone I'm voting for. I'll tell you that. Let's go to Houston and talk to Jim on the Savage Nation. Hi, Jim. I'm Chris, and for Dr. Savage tonight.
Hey, Chris. How's it going, brother?
Very well. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. You know, and I'm commenting on how the senators,
Whitehouse in Rhode Island.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, you're talking about Sheldon Whitehouse in Rhode Island probably, right?
Yes, and Harry Reid as well, how they're talking about we must be racist if, happen to be a black guy whatever, or African-American, whichever is culturally correct these days, but that's who I am. That's how I'm labeled. And I'm more conservative than I am anything else. You know, as I've gotten older and become a father, you know, I own property, and things like that. And so those values are the values that I hold. So, I mean, are they saying I'm a racist and those who think like me and look like me are racist as well? We're Aryan extremist groups, or, I mean, what's really the deal?
I think that makes you an Uncle Tom.
Oh.
I'm kidding, Jim. I don't know what the rules are for a black guy that opposes it. I don't know.
Yeah, that all makes sense then.
Merry Christmas, Jim. I'm glad you called. Yeah, hey, look at that. I'll be damned. Jim's the one black guy out there that opposes what they're doing in Congress. Well, we found one. Phew! Okay. Job's done. It's kind of like when the Democrats find one Republican like Olympia Snow up in Maine to vote for something and call it bipartisan. I'm kidding. Of course, Jim is one of millions of people of different races that oppose this just the same. This notion that it has anything to do with race. White people oppose it just because Barack Obama's name's assigned to it. Well, look, does that exist? Yes, but it's not even a measurable fraction. People just know bad government. People know overreach. People know socialism. People know fascism. People understand that is not what this country is. Doesn't matter your color. And to invoke race is such a sad, tired, old play anyway. But, you know, Jim just made the point. I'm a grown man with a family, responsibilities. I own property. I pay taxes. And I don't like what's going on. And I'm black, by the way. So what does that make me? So I guess by their crazy logic. Well, look. By their crazy logic, it's, I guess, Uncle Tom, sellout. That's what, like Colin Powell when he used to work for the Bush administration. Black guy, sellout. Let's go to San Diego, talk to Aaron on the Savage Nation. Hi, Aaron. Oh, now Aaron. Aaron, you live out there in San Diego. For instance, in San Diego and in California at large, it's a large Hispanic population, and I know there are a large number of Hispanic conservatives out there, Aaron. I bet there might be a couple of Hispanic people that oppose what they're doing in Congress right now, Aaron.
Well, you know, it's coincidence that you may say that if Jim is an Uncle Tom, that I might be an Uncle Juan, if you want to call it that, because I oppose myself 100% too.
Well, look at that. And you're an entirely different state. You're in the enlightened state of California, Aaron.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that they were that clip that Jim was talking about previously about being supportive of the Aryan Nation. I think what they might want to consider the fact is that one African American that was beat up in St. Louis by Obama's union goons for protesting at that town hall meeting. I mean, I don't know exactly what they're going through their head, but I also wanted to talk about a website that I got when I was at work. It was called Fleming, FLEMING.house.gov. And what this was Congressman or Senator Tom Colburn had a petition on there basically saying if the Congress or whoever, or the people in the Senate are going to force the health care down our throat, that type of health care that they're trying to pass on us, that'll help them get a vote on a specific amendment telling the politicians that they absolutely have to get the same health care that they're trying to force down our throat also.
I like it. Fleming.house.gov. That's Tom Colburn's behind that, you say, Aaron?
Yeah, Tom Colburn's behind it. And I don't exactly have it right in front of me. I left it at work by mistake. But, it was a simple, first, last name, email address, city, and yes or no. Yes meaning yes, or yes meaning yes, but you think the politicians should have the same health care we are going to get or they're trying to pass on us.
Yeah. Aaron, thank you. Merry Christmas. I'm glad you called. So there you have it, the vast reach of the Savage Nation. We got an Uncle Tom and an Uncle Juan back to back. Big stuff out there. Thank you. 800-449-8255. Let's go to New York. Let's talk to Harry next on the Savage Nation. Hi, Harry. I'm Chris in for Dr. Savage tonight. Hello.
Hello.
Go
for it.
Good
evening, sir. I wanted to ask you a question concerning parliamentary procedure, which you were talking about earlier. And what I wanted to ask you was, if the Republican Party boycotted the Senate on the day of the vote on the health care bill, could they block it by denying the Senate a quorum? In which, if they got a quorum out, then I guess they couldn't enact any legislation.
Yeah, you know, Harry, what is quorum? I think quorum is just they just need the 60, isn't it? Or am I wrong on that? I know that's cloture, but I mean, I don't know the number for quorum.
I don't know how many people they need, but I've heard many of the speakers say at the end of their speech that I wish to to announce the absence of a quorum.
You know, I'll check that, Harry, but here's the thing. Harry, I think you're onto something brilliant. You know what I wish? You know what I wish? Every Republican would book a flight home for Christmas tonight, right now. Republicans can just not show up. Now, I don't know about the quorum, and I'll look that up, Harry, but thank you for the call, and it's a great suggestion. What if? What would be a more powerful message? Republicans, all 40 of them voting no? Or all 40 of them flying home and not showing up for the vote on Christmas Eve while those morons stayed in the Senate? Here it is. A quorum is the number of senators that must be present for the Senate to do business. The Constitution requires a majority, 51, for a quorum. Okay, so there you have it. They have it and they're 60. Harry, that's the answer. Quorum is 51 senators. Often fewer senators are actually present on the floor, but the Senate presumes that a quorum is present unless the contrary is shown. That's what I you know what? I will call for that right now. I would call on every Republican, all 40 of you, if you're serious about this and you don't stand with this, pack your things. Go home and be with your family. Let these idiots stand there all by themselves and sink with the Titanic. You've got a lifeboat waiting. Let's go to Sierra Vista, Arizona. Talk to Kim, home of Senator McCain, Kim, where I wonder, is he in trouble down there? This is a guy, I don't know, maybe I've been too hard on him, but I look at this guy and I think he's sort of the face of what brought us to this point, Kim, in a little way. I mean, maybe you disagree. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What do you think?
I didn't get the name of who you were talking about there.
Senator McCain. I said, I look at a guy like McCain and I think to myself on a national stage, I hope I'm not being too unfair here when I say it. I mean, he's a hero and all those things. But I look at a guy like him, and I think in a lot of ways, this is why we sit with 40 votes in the Senate. This is why we're a guy or two or three shy in the Senate from stopping this madness right now. It's the thought process of running a McCain-style campaign. Let's not be too mean. Let's be inclusive. Let's not be too conservative, Kim. You know what I mean?
That's a big part of the problem that we have in this country when it comes to politicians. Nobody, all those men, most of them just aren't real men.
What kind of shape is he in down there, Kim, in Arizona? Have you heard? Is John McCain in trouble?
I live in a very conservative area. I live next to Fort Huachuca. So, got a lot of military people here. A lot of military.
Yeah.
I love the military. I moved here from Central Coast, California, because I absolutely fell in love with the people here. The sense of family and everything. So, most of the people here are very conservative. I have a 9-year-old, and last year I help out class once a week. And the little kids asked me, I said, who'd you vote for? And I said, I voted for McCain, even though he was not my best choice. And a lot of the kids went, yes. They were very excited because even, your values to your children, if you're very involved with your children, it really comes home with them. And even the kids here are conservative. It's amazing.
Well, if you have children, Kim, as anyone knows that's a parent, if you have children and you look at the way this Congress is spending us into oblivion and you realize you've spent money that children that aren't even born yet will be paying, I don't know how with the conscience you're not conservative, but I digress. Kim, I've derailed your conversation a little bit. You called about something else. What's on your mind?
I want people to understand something. First of all, I'm disabled. I do work as many hours a week as I can. I have been working in the restaurant business for 25 years. It was my calling, my love, but unfortunately, I have arthritis. So I'm partially disabled. I do get free medical through the state of Arizona. It's called Access. Now, with that, my dental coverage is just extractions. Because of medications that I take, I have a lot of dental problems. I live only about 10 miles as the crow flies from Mexico. And recently, I had some teeth that needed to be pulled, and I went down to Mexico. My grown children, are buying me parcels for Christmas. And I went down there, and the dentist in Mexico said, you need these teeth pulled. I only had two of them, and then we can do your parcels. I went back to a dentist here in Sierra Vista, and he tore my mouth up. Now, they don't get much money for pulling teeth because I have state medical, and this is what people need to understand. If we have national health care, look forward to this.
So, Kim, you're saying you're not getting quality care like dental and other things because it's through the state you can't find people to take the kind of coverage you're getting?
They don't give you decent care. And this place in particular advertises they take care of dental folks and so on. I have two spots in my mouth, in which the dentist in Mexico, and I'm going to pay for this, has to cut open my gum and file down my jawbone because they tore away so much gum. But yet I go to Mexico. Guess how much I pay for a filling? Take a while.
No idea. Yeah, no idea. $30. How much?
$30.
Yeah.
$30.
Well,
laser whitening is $2,000, but there it's $200. And the reason why is because they don't have health care over there.
Well,
they don't have free They don't even have insurance. And it brings the cost down. Keep the government out of everything. People just don't get it. I'm 48. When my mother had me, she had to pay $5 a month for 12 months for the bill for having me. That was about 2 days' pay for her.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way. And they kept you in the hospital for 4 days in the 60s. Now they kick you up, before the baby's. It's crazy.
Tim, I got to run here. I get your point. You're on the state dime, and now you don't feel like you're getting the coverage you deserve. I get it. I do appreciate your phone call. 800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm Chris Stigall, in for Michael Savage. Merry Christmas to you. And Dr. Savage, thank you for the invitation. The number 800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com is the website, the only one you need, as far as I'm concerned, where you stop and read all the big headlines of the day. Dr. Savage himself hand selects the most important stuff that he thinks you ought to know. And the Wall Street Journal has actually editorialized on this nightmare passed in the middle of the night over... I guess it would have been early this morning, I guess, or late last night, however you look at it, 1 a.m. East Coast time, around midnight Central and so on. They write that Mr. Obama promised a new era of transparent good government, yet Saturday morning, Reid throws out 2,100-page bill that the world's greatest deliberative body spent just 17 days debating, replaced it with a new manager's amendment that was stapled together in a covert partisan negotiation. Democrats are barely even bothering to pretend to care what's in it. Not that any senator had the chance to digest it in the 38 hours before the first cloture vote at 1 a.m. this morning. After procedural motions that allow for no amendments, the final vote could come at 9 p.m. on December 24th. Even in World War I, there was a Christmas truce. I thought that was very well put. The rushed, secretive way that a bill this destructive and unpopular is being forced on the country shows that reform has devolved into the raw exercise of political power for the single purpose of permanently expanding the American entitlement state. An increasing role of leaders in healthcare and business are looking on aghast at a bill that is so large and convoluted no one can truly understand it. Finance Chairman Max Baucus even admitted, the Democrat, on the floor last week, as much. The only goal is to ram it into law while the political window is still open and clean up the mess later. They go on to have a great analysis of this. I would recommend it for reading. It's called Change Nobody Believes In, a bill so reckless it has to be rammed through on a partisan vote on Christmas Eve. It talks about the rate increases. If you have private insurance, kiss it goodbye. Just understand that, and I know that you do. If you have private insurance right now through anyone, if you buy it yourself, certainly if your employer is paying for a private insurance plan for you right now, kiss it goodbye or get ready to part with your wallet. It will cost you a fortune to keep it by design. It will become so cost prohibitive by design, your private insurance, that in time you will have only one option, and that is the government's offering. And then, like a Venus flytrap, that's when they've got you, you little fly. That's their plan.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Merry Christmas. This is The Savage Nation. I'm Chris Stigall, and for Dr. Michael Savage, who's taken the evening off, and Dr. Savage, thank you for the invitation to sit behind the microphone. I hope you'll go to michaelsavage.com. I hope for those of you that are calling or writing and asking, what can we do, Dr. Savage? What can we do, Chris? What can we do to beat back this Congress that's not listening? I hope you'll go to michaelsavage.com, and quite frankly, this is a solicitation on his behalf from me, not him. He doesn't ask that I ask you to do it. He asks regularly that you support him, that you stand with him. Freedom of speech, true independent conservatism out there, as we know, is marginalized often not just by Democrats, of course, but by the very party that used to embody conservatism, independent conservatism, limited government, the Republicans. So I would ask, if you want something to do, examine those candidates in 2010. Support the likes of a Michael Savage, or support the likes on the national stage of people that embody your values. Really get active in a serious, meaningful way early. Embolden those that stand with you rather than wring your hands and beat your chest about those that you cannot stop. You can do nothing to stop them. And In fact, I asked a question, and I'll ask it again. 800-449-8255. 800-449-8255 is the number if you want to be a part of the program. Would you be inspired or disappointed? Inspired or disappointed if the Republicans just booked a flight home right now out of Washington, D.C.? If Senate Republicans just said, hell with it, I am going home. We can't stop it. We know we can't stop it. We know they have the votes. They're not going to listen. We're out. We're going. And you say, but Chris, what if there's a Democrat or two that has a change of heart? Well, if so, then they don't have their 60 votes. Then it would be 48-2. And, you know, we could celebrate the two. But if these morons are going to run us off the cliff on Christmas Eve, I say let them do it alone. Why should Republicans sit up there and ruin the country and their holidays by watching it happen? Just go home. I would frankly be inspired if not a Republican even showed up on the floor. Just make those morons ruin their holiday break. Just make them ruin it. I'd love it. I would watch and laugh. I'd sit at home with popcorn and turn on C-SPAN, gather the family around. Yeah. We'll get to church and presents later. First, let's watch these moron Democrats ruin the country by themselves. It might be sort of fun in a dark, demented sort of way. Then I'll go to midnight mass and pray. That's what I like about you good Catholics. You have a late show. We Methodists, we have to be in there by 4 o'clock, man, or it's out. Catholics, you can pick from a host of times, including that late show. I like that. All right, 800-449-8255. American jobless face bleak Christmas as unemployment continues to rise. This is from The Guardian. A foreign newspaper has to write a truth that we can't seem to reach amongst the Democrats and the media in this country. In his stylish, sleek, and sparkling white Manhattan salon, hairdresser Christo Cora is trying to do his bit for those less fortunate at a top-of-the-range snipper. Usually charges $300 a cut, but every Tuesday morning at his minimalist Greenwich Village studio, unemployed Americans can get a spruced-up coif for free. In a national crisis, he reasons, everyone should pitch in. A seeming unstoppable epidemic of joblessness has swept across America over the last 24 months. The unemployment rate beginning in 08 at 4.9 has risen to 10, and despite a slight drop, many economists believe it is yet to peak. More than 7 million jobs have evaporated since the recession began. SOL. SOL. And now Obamacare. 60 votes. Lemmings off the cliff. SOL. Standard of living. Or, well, you know what SOL stands for, don't you? When somebody says you're SOL. All right, have your friend tell you. I can't say it on the air. But let's talk about it in terms of standard of living. There is no other way to put it. It's a war on wealth. It's a war on money. this Congress, this president, they are at war with anyone that has anything in this country. Your quality of life, they're at war with it. There's no way to – how else do you see it? If you have private insurance, if your employer still provides your insurance, if you purchase private insurance on your own, if you have a health savings account right now, they're at war with you. To say that kneecap and tax or Obamacare will raise taxes, well, that's sort of oversimplifying it. Yeah, it will do that. But whatever was barely affordable this year is beyond your means once Obamacare is passed. You see what I'm saying? If you ever had season tickets, for instance, to an NFL game or a Major League Baseball or hockey or something, this will keep getting worse. Employers will keep firing people. Things will continually get more expensive and out of your reach, including your health insurance. If you barely scraped enough money together to take the family on vacation this year, it's not going to be a consideration next year. If you barely won the argument for the new home theater system or the new toy around your house this year, consider yourself lucky. You're not going to be stupid enough to try it next year. It's going on at my house. I don't know if it is yours. I feel it. Things we never would have batted an eye at before, we really are thinking twice about now. I have felt in the last year or two my standard of living fall precipitously, and I'm actually earning a little more than I used to. And no, it's not because I'm spending more. I'm spending less, as a matter of fact. Furniture, clothes, laptop, pick it. A new fence for the backyard. If it was within your grasp, it's not going to be once these stooges, these Democrats, jam these bills down your throat. This president and this Congress are about to cut the heart out of our quality of life. We're SOL. About our SOL, our standard of living. I mean, the environment won't be any better, but our standard of living is going to be a lot worse, I'll guarantee. How we live our lives, folks, is being threatened. How we live our lives. You hear me? It isn't just about ideals anymore. It's not a Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. Our way of lives are being threatened. Our companies, our homes, our savings, our private insurance, how we choose to spend our money, what we wish to buy. Cable TV, from our cell phones, what we think of as necessities today, they're going to be luxuries tomorrow. These people are on the verge of passing something way beyond party politics. This is about where you can afford to even exist. Whether you can have one car or two, selling the boat or keeping it, taking the family out to dinner or not, visiting your kids who live out of town or not. We're about to learn the difference between surviving and pursuing happiness, as our founders intended. Truly between a tyrannical rule and the liberty to be free and prosper. Between skyrocketing costs of insurance policies, rationed medical care, and watching every other expense in our lives increase. And it's going to be a lot less fun in general as it happens. We're about to come to appreciate the phrase, the pursuit of happiness, like we have never understood before. The pursuit of happiness. It's in a founding document. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. You and I, because of this Congress, are truly about to understand what the pursuit of happiness used to mean. Because they are out to destroy it. And if you're not flat-out wealthy, you're about to take a big step down. It is unavoidable, simply unavoidable, and it's by design. Anyone who finds comfort in believing the economy is coming back. You've heard this, right? Well, it's roaring back. Well, you're about to get the shock of your life. Ben Bernanke, the man of the year, Times man of the year, so brilliant he couldn't see this coming. Look, just because there are jobs doesn't mean you're going to have sufficient disposable income to enjoy or save in those jobs. What kind of jobs are they, by the way? Government jobs? The cost of living is going to increase with utility bills, insurance bills, gas. I mean, look at all they attack. Oil, how you fuel your car, your insurance, your utilities, kneecap and tax, this Copenhagen debacle. It's all under attack. And then there's, of course, charities. We learned very early on this year, Barack Obama doesn't think there's any merit to giving to charities if you get any kind of tax benefits out of it. That's the wrong reason to give to charities, he said. charities are about to have their clocks cleaned. They already are. And if you're on a fixed income, well, God help you. And we haven't even talked about inflation, the hidden tax, the most insidious of them all. No one in their right mind wants to be a part of the fall of the free market in this country. No one wants their standard of living, their quality of life, to decline. And that's where we're headed, all of us. The rich aren't just going to take this for the team. This isn't just the rich anymore. It's all of us. We're all going to get soaked. And when liberals win this fight and take control of healthcare, as well as the CO2 we exhale, taking care of our literal breath and overtaking our healthcare, SOL. We'll be SOL. Our standard of living is going to have a whole new meaning. Democrats are salivating over the future because it weakens you. It weakens your individualism, your strength, your pursuit of happiness. And a weakened you means a stronger them. And they're willing, in the short order, to commit this political suicide. Political suicide bombers, martyrs for their party, in order to keep you and me on a short leash with our collective noses to the grindstone to pay for all of their excessive spending. It's just disgusting. They know exactly what they're doing to you and me. It is absolutely constructed. It is a game plan. 800-449-8255. I hope you'll go to michaelsavage.com. I hope you'll be a part of the discussion this day and every day. I'm Chris Stigall, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Chris Stigall in for Dr. Michael Savage tonight. 800-449-8255, the phone number, michaelsavage.com. The website, the only website you need, as far as I'm concerned, where you can stop and read everything that Dr. Savage often handpicks himself for you to read up. And I want to get right to the phone. Many people have been very patient, and I thank you. Let's go to Gene in Texas first. Gene, I'm Chris. Honored to be sitting in tonight for Dr. Savage. Hello. Let's move on to Bill in Sacramento. William, welcome to the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. Go for it.
Yeah, I was wondering how come we don't put a coalition together to lobby on behalf of the American conservative. That's what's getting me. Too much of us working conservatives have our head in the sand, and this Fabian socialism is just going to snowball us over.
No, you know, Bill, I would disagree with you on that point. I think that you and I and the American conservative are actually quite awake and quite aware. What's been sad is we've not had any real vocal leader to support. You know, you look back historically. This isn't new, though, either, Bill. You know, historically, when you look at even presidential elections, I mean, when Ronald Reagan tried to challenge the status quo and how he was rebuked back in the 70s. Before we came to understand Ronald Reagan, that gave us Jimmy Carter. You know, in a lot of ways, I think we're living through, I don't know, perhaps I'm being too optimistic. I mean, this guy makes Jimmy Carter literally look like a peanut farmer. But I'm not as pessimistic maybe as some are that all hope is lost. I just think it's a matter of resurrecting and understanding and redirecting, Bill. Leadership, people that we, you know, meaning what they say, saying what they mean, and listening, forcing people, candidates, to listen to conservatives and understand that this country is a conservative center-right nation, Bill.
I agree.
All right, my friend. Go for it. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I also think that they're not just taxing the rich. They're trying to do away completely with the middle class. And then we'll be our status of a third world country. And then what? Then all the poor people are going to rely on the government anyways. I think that they're just trying to wipe out the middle class altogether.
Bill, I look, it's, you know, what they're doing. Here's a good example. Do you remember or did you hear much about it? Didn't get a lot of play. Barack Obama ticked off at all the Chinese imports on tires. And, Bill, I thank you for the phone call. Remember all the Chinese imports on tires, and he clamped down on the tire industry importing all these cheap tires? And it was under, what was it doing? Why? Why was Obama angry at cheap imported tires? Because it undercuts the market, right? It artificially, you could get all these cheap tires coming in from China, and people were turning their noses up at the options produced here domestically, or domestic tire manufacturers. So what did he do? He locked them out, forced you to buy American auto, or American tires. And you say, well, good. By God, it's time. Well, okay. If that's your sentiment, then explain to me why they are artificially driving up the cost of private health insurance by inserting the government into this. They are artificially doing, in other words, he is doing to the insurance industry the exact opposite that he did to the Chinese tire importation into the country. See what I'm saying? If cheap tires being imported to this country was damaging to private business in the United States, then don't you suppose cheap government-run, artificially lowered health care costs, health insurance costs for people on the government dole, don't you suppose that will artificially, what, inflate those of us that have private insurance not tied to government, which will then become too expensive and ultimately we'll be forced to do what? Go buy the cheap tire, or in this case, the cheap health insurance. And that's where they have you. I mean, it's you can't have it both ways, is what I'm telling you. Look, I know you've got a lot to say, and I will absolutely open it wide at 800-449-8255 when we get back on the Savage Nation and let you in on this. 800-449-8255. It's Christmas week, and I still want to know the answer to the question, would you rather just see Republicans buy a ticket home in the United States Senate? Just take a flight home. They can't stop this anyway. Just don't be a part of it at all.
Savage. Visit TRNCentral.com, your one stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.
Christmas is this Friday, but it's not too late to send the perfect gift for the person who has everything, or for family and friends you won't get to see this holiday season. This week only, get 12 candy cane roses plus a free glass vase for only $19.99. Plus, Pro Flowers has an amazing deal for my listeners. You get 6 extra roses and chocolate truffles to go with your bouquet for just $10 more. That's 18 candy cane roses, free chocolate truffles, and a free glass vase for only $29.99. It's an amazing last chance holiday deal. This festive mix of red and white roses is sure to make your home merry and bright. This incredible holiday deal is in limited supply, so don't wait. Place your order today, and here's what I want you to do to get your candy cane roses for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter my name, Savage, or call 800-PRO-FLOWERS, 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS, and mention Savage. Don't wait another minute. You must order by 6 p.m. on Wednesday to get Christmas Eve delivery.
Call Michael now at 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
Back at it on the Savage Nation. Chris Stigall in for Dr. Savage tonight. Dr. Savage, Merry Christmas, and a thank you to you for the invitation. Thanks to you being a part of the Savage Nation all year long. I know Dr. Savage thanks you for it, and I hope you go to michaelsavage.com and do all the heavy and light reading he's posted up there. And if you're so inclined, if you're somebody that sits there on this Christmas week wondering, what can I do? What do? Well, you support people like Dr. Savage. You buy his book. You buy books that, he didn't ask me to say it. I'm just telling you that if you really want to make a dent and a meaningful impact out there, it cannot be ignored that all of the New York Times bestsellers out there are overwhelmingly conservatives. Dr. Savage doesn't even go through the traditional channels of publishing anymore and still has runaway bestsellers. But that also, with that kind of success, comes massive attack. And the Republican Party would do well to embrace talk radio going forward, where the true conservatives are found, and rather than run from it and rebuke it and tell them to simmer down and stop with all the partisan sniping, they need to start listening. They need to understand that conservatives feel attacked. They need to understand that when those tea parties and those town halls of the spring and summer of 2009 were underway, and honest and raw and passionate, that they were being, those participating, those patriot, patriotic Americans, those patriots gathered, were called everything from racists to Nazis to, you know, Aryan group members, militia members. It's not enough, Republicans, to ask for a check and kind of a wink and a smile, and then when you're in trouble, come ask conservatives for help. It's time to embrace them and understand that conservatism is where the heart of the country is. Conservatism is where the heart is. This country is crying out for leaders to stand up and stop government from growing and encroaching and seizing our standard of living and our way of life and our liberties. This country wants government out of their way. And they're doing just the opposite. If you cannot win selling that very basic message in this environment, you're doing something wrong. And if your candidate isn't selling and saying that very basic message, they're the wrong candidate going forward in 2010. That's it. 800-449-8255 to New York and Jim. Jim, I'm Chris in for Dr. Savage tonight. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Hello.
Hello, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Chris. I think we can do better than your idea about the Republicans flying home, because that's not going to stop the bill. So the question is, how can the bill be stopped? And I think the way it can be stopped is to take advantage of this atrocious deal they just made with Nebraska. Apparently, we agreed that in exchange for this vote, that everyone pays for Nebraska's Medicaid, and they don't have to pay for it. What happened to equal protection of the law and due process? Someone should file that this bill is dead in the water. It's unconstitutional.
Well, Jim, you know, look, first of all, a bill has to pass before it's challenged legally. It will be challenged legally, and I thank you for the phone call. It will be challenged legally for a number of reasons, not the least of which the government forcing you to buy something. Again, I say, and this is probably the biggest, broadest point of them all, before we even get down into the weeds of what the bill does, the notion that the federal government is going to mandate, do you know that's never been done? It's never been done. It can't be done. States can do it. The federal government, Washington, D.C., 535 members of Congress and the President of the United States have never legislated that you purchase something. Anything, ever. What else are they going to legislate you purchase? There's a lot of stuff out there that's good for you. You know what? I hate eating cauliflower, but I bet they could tell me that it's great for me and that I ought to buy it. Maybe I ought to make it illegal for me not to buy it. Maybe I have to, like a mandatory stop in the produce aisle. I got to pick so many pieces of produce out. And it's all to help the farmer, the struggling American farmer out there. Bill in Tulsa. I'm just thinking out loud, Bill. I welcome you to the Savage Nation. I'm Chris. Hello.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
Great. Thank you for the call. Hey, you've got a great senator down there in Colburn, by the way. Actually, Inhofe and Colburn are both great, but Colburn's been great today and yesterday.
I tell you, we are all very proud of our senators, and they're doing the job that we elected them to do. And I have three quick points. First of all, as far as the senators in up there that all want to go home for Christmas, I think that on Christmas Eve, that when they do 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, that we make them read the whole damn bill, all of it. Keep them there until New Year's. Second point is, we are the reddest state in the union. Every county went red. And what we're going to do now is, if they pass this, we're going to make this Barack quack quack Obama, quack quack meaning the doctor is bad. Secondly, is that he's a lame duck. Third point. Is that if they pass this and force us to buy this insurance and threaten them to take us to jail, we'll make a deal with them. Release the Guantanamo prisoners. We'd love to have them and put them in the general population here. Secondly, is that what I think they should do also is, if they're going to force us to go and buy this thing, that every one of us at their arrest, including myself, my mom, my dad, whoever else, we don't bail out. We force them to keep us in prison, keep us in jail, until it's so overcrowded they have to let the rapists out, the murderers out, everybody out, to keep us conservatives in, because that seems to be the ones that they need anyways.
You know, Bill, this may surprise you if you didn't already know this. Do you know on this point of if this goes into law, that you would be considered a criminal, perhaps jailed, for not buying their health care insurance. Do you know who agrees with you on the national level? Someone that you would never in a million years agree with what you just said. Throw me in jail. I'll go to jail sooner than I'll be forced to buy health care under this bill. Do you know who else agrees with you on this?
That I don't know, sir.
This will shock you. And it blew me away. I actually talked about this last week because he talked about it on his television show. It pains me to even bring up his name, but I have to because this is how crazy it's gotten that you, Bill, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and this guy in New York City on a television show no one watches, but I'm about to give him a lot of love here for saying the same thing, Bill, Keith Olbermann. No kidding. The guy that hosts one of the craziest shows on television, the guy with the looniest left-wing ideas about the way the country ought to be run, agrees with you, Bill. In Oklahoma, I will not buy this health care insurance. Throw me in jail, if you will, but I'm not buying it. And see, and Bill, thanks for the call. This is the point. This is the real trouble and the insanity of this entire thing for Democrats. When Bill in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a kook like Keith Olbermann agree, how bad must a piece of legislation be? Let's go to New Hampshire and talk to Brian. Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Dr. Savage tonight. Hello.
Hi, Chris. Merry Christmas, and thank you for
Merry Christmas.
Call.
You bet.
I'm a former Republican that has turned libertarian because I'm just sick of the Republican Party not being conservative. And I think, you know, when you look at things like cap and tax and the health care and illegal immigration, and when the vast majority of citizens in every poll don't want this stuff, yet both parties ram it down our throats despite our wishes in opposition. I think it's quite clear that, I mean, you say a logical person would say, why are they doing this to us? And I think the answer is clear. I mean, I think both sides are bought and paid for by the very elites in the of the world, you know, the central banks, the Federal Reserve, and then lower down the George Soros's. And clearly the goal is to dismantle the Constitution and destroy the United States for their one world order type scheme. I can't logically see why else they would act in such a contrarian way to our wishes.
I concur with you, Brian. I would only ask you on this point of perhaps branching off third party libertarian, whatever you want to call yourself. The only part of it that I have trouble with is I believe once upon a time anyway, the Republican Party was controlled by people like you, Brian, people that thought like you and me. And I still think a good number of them do, and maybe we don't focus enough on them, but I just talked with Bill there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Brian, and those two senators, Inhofe and Colburn, for instance, are two of the finest rock-rib conservatives in the nation, in my judgment. Now, I'm sure people can find flaws with any of them for various reasons, but I often wonder if we don't get too concerned with throwing the baby out with the bathwater as opposed to throwing out the bathwater, you know what I'm saying, and work with the baby we still have.
Yeah, but I think when you look at most of their actions, people like Lindsey Graham and Olympia Snowe and even McCain. I mean, I think that guy's completely bought and paid for by.
But is it easy? And I don't agree. I don't disagree with you, Brian. But is it easier to get rid of Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins and Lindsey Graham and John McCain? Is it easier to get rid of them or just branch off and create something new? Because that is a real debate going on in the country right now, Brian. A third party versus trying to resurrect and reclaim Republicans and that party for the conservative mantle. I mean, which way do you go? Which is easier? Root out the McCains and the Grahams, or just branch off and go a new direction?
Personally, I in my own little world, I would like to branch off, but I think it would be much easier logistically if you combined, you know, for instance, someone like Ron Paul had tremendous success, although it was marginalized even by Fox News. But if you could combine someone with an unbelievable track record such as his on standing up for the Constitution with the popularity of perhaps a Sarah Palin, I don't know her whole platform. If she could adopt a platform as true to the Constitution as Dr. Paul's, I think she would be unbeatable.
See, and I believe, Brian, that Ron Paul and Sarah Palin, while you almost never hear those two names in the same sentence, I believe they have so much more in common than they don't. To splinter them simply because the name Republican versus Libertarian or Republican and Independent, to splinter them in 2010 when both of them combined would be so powerful it would be unstoppable, Brian, I think it would be a mistake. I hope, and I'm grateful you called, and you make a great point. I hope the Sarah Palin faction, the Dr. Savage faction, the Ron Paul faction, whatever you want to call the different factions, I hope we all understand and agree that we have far more collectively to gain by banding together than we do by splintering. And, I think it's gotten too nuts. There's no way. Anyway, I mean, my gosh, at this point, you look at any one of the seven, how many were there? 13 at one point, Republican candidates back in 08 that were vying for the nomination before Grandpa got it. I mean, any one of them, I look at them and all now and I think to myself, any one of them, who wouldn't you have taken? Pick one of them, any of them. You'd have taken any of them. Arguably with McCain or any of them, you'd still get cap and tax, and that was more to Brian's point to begin with. But no, I'm all for rooting out, clean sweep, reclaiming conservatism for the Republican Party. Let me get, I want to go to New Hampshire again and talk to Dave quickly. Dave has a great point on something coming up. I don't know if a lot of people are paying attention to it. Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Dr. Savage tonight. Hi.
Chris, thanks for taking the call. I just want to make the point that we do not have to wait till November to make a big statement. There's a special runoff election, January 19th. Down in Massachusetts, I'm a refugee from there, for the old Ted Kennedy seat. Now, imagine the effect, the ripple effect, if a Republican, by the way, Scott Brown is his name, upsets the favored Democrat, Martha Coakley. Imagine the effect that sends to all the others that are up for election in November. It immediately eliminates the supermajority, the 60 votes. They would have now 59. And the third, though I don't know how many points it is, but another point on that is that this will be a low turnout election. The primaries that they had a couple of weeks ago only had 5% turning out. This is low-lying fruit, though. If we grab it and we steal that seat, I shouldn't call it steal it, if we claim that seat, it'll send an effect to everyone else that's up for election next year, and you're going to see a serious tightening up of what they're doing down in Congress right now, I think.
Yeah. Dave, what's the Republican's name in Massachusetts again? Scott?
Scott Brown, January 19th. In fact, tonight they're doing a debate. I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I'm not a voter down there. I used to live down there.
But now, does he stand a serious shot, or what's polling say on that? Is that guy just way, way, way down in the polls, or what does it look like there?
He's way down in the polls if you read the media down there. The newspapers up in, Boston, that's about as far left as you can get. He's not getting a lot of attention, but if the turnout is low, it's going to be between activist Republicans and Acorn on the left. It's only going to be the people that we drive to the polls. It's one of those elections going to be such a low turnout that here's a chance, an opportunity, but we need to be mentioning it on the national media because it's an important thing.
Dave, I do. It's up there in Massachusetts, and so if you're in or near or know people in Massachusetts, Dave's got a point. We talk about the November. I mean, if for some reason can you imagine Ted Kennedy's Senate seat going to a Republican? Hang on. 800-449-8255. 800-449-8255. I'm Chris Stigall in for Dr. Savage. Michael, thanks for the invitation tonight. MichaelSavage.com, the website. Merry Christmas. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Chris Stigall in for Dr. Michael Savage this evening at 800-449-8255. The website, michaelsavage.com. com, where you can always read all the latest headlines that Michael Savage wants to call your attention to. Let's go right to the phone and talk to Steve in Austin, Texas. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you?
Doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
You have been talking about what can we do, what's something that the average individual can do to get the problems up there solved, and you had said we need to start vetting candidates. Well, I've been working with a group for the last about 11 months, and what we're actually doing is we're building a system in which we can actually choose better candidates than what we currently have to deal with. And
love
it's a nonpartisan deal, but it's just a way to choose better people.
So you would say the old method of relying on your editorial page of your local newspaper to pick the candidates is a bad way to go, Steve.
Well, you know, these individuals have been self-serving for quite some time.
Yeah. Well, now, are you looking, you say you're a nonpartisan group. What does that mean? Are you trying to more clearly lay out? You know, for instance, Steve, I come from a state, Missouri, okay, where Claire McCaskill is considered one of these moderate Democrats. Every now and again, she'll vote against what looks to be on paper against her party because she doesn't, quote unquote, like earmarks. Okay, and so there's some fiscal Republicans back home in my state that'll say, oh, well, look at that. She's a fiscal conservative, and she hoodwinks people. Then she'll go and support, she'll be one of these 60 in this mob to take over one-sixth of our health care and load it full of what is, in essence, pork for guys like Ben Nelson in Nebraska. So I have always said, Steve, that I respect, and don't misunderstand when I say this, but I think you get where I'm going, I respect people like, say, Barbara Boxer of California more than I respect people like Claire McCaskill of Missouri, because at least I know with Barbara Boxer, she is who she is, whack job, wing nut, leftist crazy, and doesn't make any apologies for it. And when she votes that way, it doesn't surprise or confuse me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Well, our underlying goal is actually to replace all the members of the House of Representatives. We're replacing them with true citizen representatives. It's time for those folks to get out of our house. The founder of our movement was actually on Fox News, the Fox and Friends show on Sunday morning, and we've had a huge outpouring of support, and I think this is something that a lot of the fans and listeners of the Savage Nation really get on board with, and it's just time for these folks to get out of our house.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Well, I appreciate the phone call. Look, I'm one guy that kind of looks out across the landscape, and for instance, where I live, I have a rock rib conservative representative in the House of Representatives, in my estimation. I'm thrilled with the leadership. So I'm not a clean sweep guy. That's just me. I'm not a third party guy. That's just me. I know many of you are, and that's fine. Rolling on. Indiana, Robin, where another fascinating state. Evan Bayh. You know, someone earlier, Robin, called in to the Savage Nation and said they held out hope that maybe one of these Democrats may have a crisis of the conscience. And at the 11th hour on Christmas Eve, vote no. Could Evan Bayh be one of them, Robin, with seconds to go? I'm sorry. I'm tight on time.
No, I don't think so. He's made himself completely unavailable. You can't even leave a voice message for him anymore because his mailbox has been full for today was the fifth straight day. So, I don't think so. Evan Bayh was a fairly good governor for us. And unfortunately, it's going to be difficult to unseat.
Yeah, I got to run, Robin. I'm awful sorry. I didn't mean to squeeze you out there. Merry Christmas from the Savage Nation.
Visit TRNCentral.com, your one stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.